1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. One source notes that fearing God, that's what this message is about, fearing God, the fear of God. One source says fearing God means having a profound reverent awe of His holiness, power, and majesty, recognizing His supremacy and our dependence on Him, which leads to wisdom, humility, and obedience rather than terror. It's a posture of respect. I disagree with this, not leading to terror, but we'll correct that in a minute. It's a posture of respect that involves taking God seriously, hating evil, living with integrity, and prioritizing His will in all aspects of life, all while balancing this with the knowledge of His love and mercy as a father, unquote. Now, notice in Isaiah 8:13, if we do not obey the Lord, we do not fear Him, we should be in terror of Him. Sanctify the Lord, God tells His people of host Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. There you go. That's Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. Now, notice also, this is a verse that is largely obscured, regrettably. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody talk about it, but it's right there in Psalm chapter 50, verse 22. Notice what the Lord tells His people. Now consider this, ye that forget God. Now He's talking about those who forget God. So if we were to forget God, we need to be in terror, in fear. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. So we know that there's a terror of the Lord, for and it's reserved for rebels. That would be 2 Corinthians 5:11. Notice, now consider this. This is Psalm 50, verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. That would be those who forget God. And so we should understand that if we ever forget God, we do no longer seek Him and put Him first and worship Him in spirit and in truth as the first priority, the first love of our lives, that we are going to be torn in pieces and there's none who will deliver. In other words, His judgment is eternal and it's irrevocable, and no one can deliver us from hell if we die outside of an abiding relationship with Christ after being born again. Now, there are so many different versions of salvation being peddled, and so I don't encourage you to take mine. I'm trying to just read from Scripture here, but you have to get in the Word yourself, my friend. You'll never, ever have any kind of assurance. You'll never have the fear of God. You'll be confused. You'll be convoluted as long as you simply listen to men and don't read the Bible for yourself. There is no replacement for Bible reading. There's no shortcuts. Paul instructed Timothy, as he instructs you and I right now, study to show yourself. You do it. Approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You are not going to have the truth and be able to rightly divide it unless you study the word of God daily. And if you're truly of God, you realize that God is not a hobby to the true disciple. He's their everything. They love Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they want to hear His voice. So they don't go hear some prophet that pretends to hear from God. No, they open God's word for themselves every day, first thing in the morning, and they seek the Lord in His strength. They seek His face continually, 1 Chronicles 16:11. They draw nigh unto Him. When you want to get to know somebody, you go to them. You don't go to somebody pretending to tell you about them, stories or fables or anything else. You get your information firsthand. And that's the problem in America. We see so many people, they're running on secondhand knowledge. There was a lady this week who I called out John Calvin for being an absolute false prophet and wolf. And she said she'd have to see proof of that. Well, why did she say that as an example here? Well, she said that because she's been told about John Calvin as if he even matters. He didn't write scripture. The guy was a murderer of over 60 people. Complete false teacher who admittedly got his doctrines from a Catholic named Augustine. So this is just one example, because her faith is clearly built on something else other than the Word of God. And it's the word of mere men. So what is your faith built out of? What is the what we call the worldview of your heart? The Constitution, where did that information come from? See, it's important to stop dead in our tracks and say, Lord, I want to just know you. I want your word, your written word in the King James Bible, to be the Constitution of my heart, dear Lord. So I'm asking you to teach me and show me your way and teach me your word and shine a light on every notion, every dark and false, erroneous, half-truth or philosophy or notion that I currently believe. Lord, I want to be wall-to-wall truth, your truth, O God. And I lay my life before you, Lord, and I'm going to indulge. I'm going to ingest. I'm going to devour your word. Your word is going to get into me because I'm going to get into it daily. And I want to know you, Lord, based on 100% truth, your truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see, as in the case of the first source I read about the fear of God, which had a lot of good stuff in it, but the lack of or the suggestion that would rule out the strickening or the striking of terror in our hearts would be erroneous, as we just saw a minute ago in Isaiah 8:13. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Quote unquote, Isaiah 8:13. We should be absolutely aware that if we rebel, backslide, or draw back, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 10 verse 38, we should know that God is going to judge us, just like he did with the Jews when he said he cut them off because they didn't continue in his goodness. He tells them in Romans 11, 20 through 22, he tells the Gentiles, he warns us that the Jews were cut off because of their unbelief. They backslid. They no longer trusted the Lord. God requires faith. Without it, it's impossible to please him, Hebrews 11:6.
They had an evil heart of unbelief, Hebrews chapter 3.
So they were broken off. He divorced the Jews, Jeremiah 3:8. And thou standest, he tells us Gentiles, by faith. Then he says, be not high-minded, but fear. For, and fear in light of what? That you are in jeopardy of being broken off, cut off from God, if you don't endure to the end, if you don't rejoice in the goodness and severity of God. Now, most people just talk about one part of this, not both, and they miss the benefits of fearing God, which we're going to get to in just a minute. Verse 21, Romans 11, for if God spared not the natural branches, that would be the Jews, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Yeah, I encourage the eternal securists to read this honestly. Their minds are so buried in darkness, that's a very hard thing for them to read the Bible with clarity and without the encroachment of the poison that they've allowed themselves to ingest. Notice, take heed, notice the warning, lest God, he also spare not you. Well, how can you possibly believe in eternal security, once saved, always saved, after reading this? He's threatening us. You don't like it? Too bad. You've made a God in your own image that justifies your sin because you love sin and self more than the Savior. You have a mere form of godliness. but you deny the power, the divine authority of Jesus Christ to rule in your daily life. You're not crucified with Christ, and therefore you're living in darkness and in sin because you love darkness rather than light, because your deeds are evil and you refuse to repent. John 3:19-21. So Paul says that if God, he tells us Gentile disciples, that if God didn't spare the Jews, he's not going to spare you if you do the same thing they did. And he says what they did here in verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and, can we underline the word and here, please? Thank you. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, the severe judgment of God, on them which fell severity, but toward you goodness, if thou continue, you got to endure to the end. If thou, it's contingent, it's conditional. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. You will be cut off if you don't acknowledge the goodness and also the severity of God. We just read a little bit about the severity of God. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Isaiah 8:13. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:11, we persuade men to do what? Repent and believe on Christ and follow him to the end of their lives. You see, there are so many benefits to the fear of God, to fearing God. In fact, David prayed, Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. Wow, what a prayer. Are you willing to pray that? If you're a man or woman of God, you definitely are. That's Psalm 86:11. Unite my heart to fear thy name. What a blessing. Amen. Are we praying that daily? I can tell you that for myself and everybody else I'm praying for in the morning. That prayer is going forth every morning. Lord, unite our hearts to fear thy name in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 19:9, there are many benefits to fearing God, and one of them is a clean heart and life. The fear of the Lord is clean, he says, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, unquote Psalm 19:9. So we see that a clean heart and life come out of fearing the Lord. And how do we get the fear of the Lord? Do we conjure it up on our own? No, but we can ask for it like David did. Unite my heart to fear thy name, right? Psalm 86:11. So fearing God, we're speaking of the benefits of fearing God, and there are many. This is just a sampling, and this should put something in your mind that as you read through the Bible, look at what the Bible says about fearing God and the benefits thereof and the danger of not fearing God. And we do have another post, saints. It's called Are Christians to Fear God? I'm going to link it down at the bottom here on Safeguard Your Soul, the post, this post, which is titled Be Thou in the Fear of the Lord All the Day Long. That even tells us when to fear the Lord, and that would be all the time, right? Be Thou in the Fear of the Lord All the Day Long. And that is our theme verse, Proverbs 23:17. Okay, so notice Proverbs 14:26-27. Which speaks about fearing God, which brings strong confidence, blessed children, wow, and departing from the snares of death. Let's read the passage, Proverbs 14:26-27. In the fear of the Lord, he says, is strong confidence. How many people want to be strengthened by the might of the Holy Spirit in their inner man, just as Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:16? What a blessing. I like to pray that daily. Lord, strengthen me with might by your Spirit in the inner man, down inside of me, in the innermost part of our beings. That gets prayed for each of us that are on my prayer list. And it comes from Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the inner man. It doesn't matter if you're a 400-pound muscle man. There are things that cause you to be frail or afraid or weak, if you will. like when you go on a job interview or something. There are many examples of this. So this is where this verse will be brought back to our remembrance by the Holy Spirit when we need it, and even we could pray it ahead before we have this weakness. We all feel inadequate in certain realms, you know. None of us are good at everything. People start talking about a certain topic, or you're faced with something and you feel weak, right? So we pray. In fact, we pray for every listener right now in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would strengthen us by your Spirit, the might of your Spirit, in our inner man for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So notice in the fear, Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord is what? Strong confidence. So we are blessed with the benefit of strong confidence. Somebody said benefit. Yeah, the Bible says in Psalm 103:2, forget not all his benefits. That's what it says. If it's in his word, it's a promise to you and I. It's among the many exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord in his word, 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. And it's fair game. God wants you to see it, embrace it, grab it, and pray it, that he would do it in your life. He loves you. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. How many people want to walk in strong confidence? Not arrogance, not pride, but strong confidence, which will come with meekness, amen, and humility. And his children, it says, shall have a place of refuge. Wow. He is our refuge. Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge, the scripture says. So his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord, it says now in verse 27. Now, notice that if we have a place of refuge, we have a place, we abide in his peace. Proverbs, speaking of Proverbs, same book here, chapter 1, verse 33. What a beautiful verse. Solomon writes this. He says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. No fear. When you fear God, you'll fear nothing else. Amen. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from even the, I'm adding those words, fear of evil. It shall be quiet from the fear of evil. You won't fear any evil because the rod and the staff of God comfort you, right? Psalm chapter 23. Verse 27 here, Proverbs 14, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So when you fear God, and that's the only way you're going to depart from the snares of death, that sounds like the temptations. Picture yourself walking down a dark path and all of these claws are coming out on both sides of you, trying to grab your feet. That would represent this illustration, the temptations to depart from the Lord, to divert from him, to entertain sin, to not look straight before yourself. As we read in Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And then verse 27, Proverbs 4, turn not, let's go to 25, the last three verses of Proverbs 4. Let thine eyes look straight on, amen. Don't look left or right, right? Let thine eyes look right on, straight ahead, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Remove thy foot from evil. What a beautiful passage. I tell you what, this Proverbs 3 and 4 are just absolutely amazing. Notice 3:26, Proverbs, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken, from being grabbed. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the only way to overcome is to walk with the Lord on his stated terms. That's why we have the Bible. That is his stated terms. Okay, so as we come in for a landing here, again, Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. But you got to walk thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long for this to take place. That's why Paul said, I keep, it's ongoing, presently and ongoing, under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, after I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Wow, that's 1 Corinthians 9:27. I highly recommend that you memorize that verse. Again, 1 Corinthians 9:27, and then right after that in the 10th chapter, verse 12, same school of thought here. Paul says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Wow, that is a severe warning. And without Christ and his present grace, every one of us is going to fall. And some, regrettably, don't repent, and they fall away, and they die and go to a devil's hell irrevocably. Remember, the theme verse of this message is, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. All. Remember, in the book of Acts, the earliest followers of Jesus were what? Quote, were edified, built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord. Notice that. They were what? Walking in the fear of the Lord. Notice this. And in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now, there's so much here. This is Acts 9:31. When you're walking in the fear of the Lord, you're going to have the comfort of the Holy Ghost. In fact, if you don't have the comfort of the Holy Ghost, a clear conscience, and the comfort of God in your bosom, in your life, it's because you're not walking in the fear of the Lord. And you can pray today that God will do it in your life. And we'll pray that in just a moment. Let me read the verse, Acts 9:31. Then had the churches, that is, after much persecution, God brought a season of rest. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. They were built up. And we need these times, saints. We need to be in these times of comfort and rest. And there's seasons, right? Yes. And walking in the fear of the Lord, walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. See, multiplied fruitfulness comes when God gives us these seasons of rest and we fear the Lord and we're accompanied and blessed to have the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and there's going to be a multiplication. That's Acts 9:31. Now, notice Proverbs 9:10. The beginning of wisdom is truly fearing God. Notice what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. How about the fruit of fearing the Lord? Notice this. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, not people, but evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward or the wicked mouth do I hate. So when you fear the Lord, you're going to hate those things that God hates, and you're going to love those things that God loves. Now, before we pray, let's look at Psalms 34, verse 7 through 10, which speaks about how the fear of the Lord brings deliverance. Notice Psalm 34. What a psalm, right? Wow. This one will light you up every time. Amen. Psalm 34, 7 through 10. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that feareth him, that fear him, and delivereth them. Notice the angel of the Lord encamps out round about them that fear him. How many of you guys want the angel of the Lord camping out around you? Wow. The angel of the Lord encampeth round, surrounds about them that fear him. Do you fear the Lord? If you do, God's angels are camping out around you and delivereth them, keeps them safe. Oh, taste and see, verse 8, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I love that. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There's the command to fear the Lord. For there is no want or no lack to them that fear him. Wow, what a promise. The young lions, he says, do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing. How many people like that beautiful blessing, or should I say these beautiful blessings of the protection of the great God and King Jesus Christ that we're blessed to be known of, saved by, walking with, and going to spend eternity with? Amen. Let's pray together, saints. Heavenly Father, we simply pray right now as we draw near to you in these seconds that we have, that you've given us. First off, we thank you for every morsel of meat, food, every sip of water, every breath that we've been given by you in these bodies that you made. And we thank you for sending our Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, to die on Calvary's cross, be buried and raised again from the dead for our justification. And Lord, we know that you want us to be crucified with him so that you can raise us up to forget not all your benefits and to be fruitful in this life to your eternal glory. So we do thank you for uniting our hearts to fear your name and for teaching us your wisdom,
blessing us to be holy as you are holy.
In the name of Jesus, and blessing us to walk, to be thou, in the fear of the Lord all the day long, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.